Hello, and welcome to Studio Sessions, the big red and shiny podcast where we talk with artists about the ideas, inspiration, and processes that go into their work. I'm your host, Matt Kuhlman, and my guest this episode is Maximiliano Cignani. Maximiliano earned his undergraduate degree from the Universidad Mayor de San Andreas in La Paz, Bolivia, and earned his MFA from the School of Visual Arts. Working in many different media, Maximiliano's work often seeks to transform an everyday object through simple alterations. In other cases, he finds ways of testing people's perceptions through performance, and also creates abstract paintings following a similar philosophy used in making his objects. Join me as Maximiliano describes his interest in transforming objects and how he feels his pieces function as art. Hi Maximiliano, how you doing?
Hi Mark, how's it going?
Good to meet you.
Yeah, me too.
And so, I saw on your website that you moved between La Paz and New York. Or are you originally from Bolivia?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I started in, I was born in La Paz, Bolivia. After school I studied architecture. And then I came here to New York, finishing at the School of Visual Arts in New York. And after that, I just started to live here and base my work in New York, in the city.
How was your experience coming in for a country to?
Well, I like the idea that I'm not here, so I'm kind of experiment every day. So according to that, I was more focused to put more attention in my everyday, and according to that, starting to do my new work or my work. So that was very interesting. I mean, in a way, I just can understand myself, you know, and then be more precise of what I was, more real or honest of what I was trying to do in art, you know, like more focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you creating art and showing work before you?
Yeah, I was like since I had memory, my family was very involved in art. Well, actually, my mother is a pianist, so I was very involved with the art scene. So just these things came out, you know, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And then, basically, I just grew up with these things. So I'm just be always involved in these things, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some photos of some of the work you have on your website. What were some of the earlier things that you were creating?
Yeah, this is a new work that I'm working out. It's more, I don't like to say as a photography, but I have these photos as a document of what I'm doing. And it's this idea to treat my everyday, where I'm having these objects that are around me, and I just trying to redefine them, trying to create a new form or create a new signifier. And according to that, I can create new concepts or new functions to these forms. So
that's what you're currently working on?
Yes, currently what I'm working on. So I spend more time in hardwares, in the street, in markets, to try to deal with these common objects, you know, and saying, you know, how I can deal with this, you know, how I can transform it, why these things are important for me, what I need to use with this, you know. So
you have some objects right here, there's a whole pairs of shoes, a bucket and a ladder. How do you, like, you say they're common objects, like what draws you to it initially, do you think?
In these things, I mean, I just, first of, I just mix between two things. One that somehow is connected with what appears and makes me interesting to deal with these objects, and second, to use or a different material or something that can transform these objects somehow. For example, in this ladder, I saw it in a hardware that is on 23rd Street and 5th Avenue, and and I felt something with me, you know, just like interesting, you know. So I like the form. I don't care what it is about, you know, the function, but I just love the form. So I was just thinking to make it soft, you know, to feel this metal thing in a soft way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just covered it with cotton, you know, to generate this sensation, you know, and this transformation that is not a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen the ladder.
Do you think it's like that specific ladder that we're looking at here that you find interesting, or because it's a mass-produced?
They're
mass-produced.
I mean, I don't know if it's because there was just the metal, or was just because it was there,
mm-hmm.
or it is just because the form. That's why I'm not sure. Like, it was just this or
mm-hmm.
like the form.
It was just kind of the moment you saw it.
The moment, yeah, exactly. I saw it. Maybe if I was in another situation where I found hundreds of these, I won't be interested.
Oh.
Because maybe it was the only one there, was just there. I don't know.
Yeah.
How? Just
so if you went to the ladder factory, you might
not get it. Yeah, exactly. So maybe we changed that idea.
Yeah.
Then, for example, this one, it's like I used to drink sometime beers, and I was like drawing in these books. So I was thinking, when you are drinking, you reach that moment of unconsciousness where you can just, you know, you are sensitive with everything. So I was thinking, what these things, what this unconsciousness came over to me because of this object. So I just trying, I just pull all these unconsciousness things
mm-hmm.
and create this cube of unconsciousness that is like flying
yeah.
over, you know,
so
like space.
Kind of a cube cage from the ceiling here.
Exactly.
It's full of crushed Budweiser cans. Did you drink all of those Budweiser
cans?
Yeah,
it was. I mean, not in just one day. I mean,
okay.
Like, a couple of days.
That's a couple of
days. But it was good, this experiment. So, yeah, that's what it's about, what I'm working out with these different objects, what I can represent in a different way, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you can understand. For example, in this one, in the photograph, so you see the skateboard.
It's also covered in the kind of cotton.
Kind of
material.
In the street. I was inspired of this short film of Luis Buñuel and Salvador Dalí called On Cher Andalou. I think it's a dog from Andalus in English. I'm not sure. And when there is a part where the cloud is passing over the moon, and then you see also a knife cut in the eye of a person. So I was thinking, like, the cloud, how is the moving of the cloud, like, you know, straight.
So in the film, the cloud, like, cut through the eye of a person.
Through the eye, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So according to the movement
mm-hmm.
of that thing, you know, and the cloud as well, so I just felt, hey, the skateboard, you know, that somehow has just only one direction, so I just
mm-hmm.
go and make that.
So with a lot of these objects that you're making, would you say that there's like a lot of surrealist influence in them, drawing from the Dalí film?
Dalí, well, also, I used to follow like other different kind of expression of what I can do. I follow the Arte Povera movement
mm-hmm.
and some certain artists such as Camilo Orozco, Francis Alice, or Art Weiwei, where they just this idea to use these objects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I ask people, you know, why these things, you know, is like beautiful for you, you know, why you can transform it or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And getting back to the ladder, like, you've covered the ladder in, like, as a cotton ball material, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it something that's still meant to be climbed or, like, interacted with, or is it something that you're not supposed to like physically
touch. I mean, we showed this ladder last month in a gallery in SEM,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't write nothing, just put ladder, the name, and that too.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like close to this piece, and there were people like touching this thing and also like trying to climb up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's what it is, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you were talking about like changing the surface.
It's
of
the
it
surface.
And that kind of
exactly. So
that
was this idea to, you know, to generate this idea that, oh, there's a life full of cotton. So like transform this typical idea that you know the ladder is made of steel or wood, you know, like with
mm-hmm.
this thing. And like somehow what maybe can become later is that if I create different types of objects, transform it in something else, somehow I can create like a new how can I call it, like a universe or something where we belong. For example, like if you see the pizza belongs to our society, our universe, because we recognize the pizza, we have the pizza, we eat the pizza, so that's the function of pizza.
Yeah.
But what about the pizza is full of grass, or a disc is full of sand, so it's not what is about to use as its function that we know, so it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we have like these things change it, somehow we create like a new
kind of an alternate state of being.
Exactly.
Different universe.
So what about if I don't drink the coffee with a cup, I drink the coffee with a plate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so these kind of suggestions, you know, how we can reinterpret the things.
So a lot of these are kind of components of acting out like a surrealist universe, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
But surrealist in the idea that you see the object, you know, like the object exists. You can see, you can touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You can climb it. You can feel it. You can try it. For example, in that one, that is the wheel.
Yeah, there's a bike tire with some casters on the bottom.
Exactly. So, like, the idea of this this wheel is like how the wheel is moving with the wheels. I mean, the wheel move some object, like a car or like a skateboard. But in this case, the wheels are moving the wheel. So, it generates this infinite movement of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, it transformed this area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the point of this. Well, these new things that I'm working out.
I know with Dali in particular and a lot of the other surrealists, they would use kind of the idea of the subconscious and like dreams in particular, like as inspiration for what they do. Do you do similar things?
I mean, in this unconsciousness, I just follow this idea that somehow you're spontaneous in one things, but spontaneous in the idea that you reach a point of knowledge that somehow you just react spontaneous.
Okay.
According of like, I don't know, your sensitivity or you wait to see the things and how you can deal with those objects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make something else. Now I'm not used to paint, I'm not used to draw. I just draw according of what is necessary, the idea, you know. Like if I have to, you have to show something according to movement, perhaps I would use video, perhaps I would do a performance. But if I want to use something related with colors, I would paint.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would use some materials that can make me colors, you know. So there's like a more focus in what is more important than yet to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I used to work like in different mediums, not just only in photography, not just only in sculpture, not just only painting.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is necessary.
And when you're making these objects up, how are they presented? Because in some of the photos I saw, look like they would be like on a subway platform sometimes,
yeah.
And like out in the public, not necessarily a gallery space. And are they meant for the person to see them there, or are they meant to see the photograph of them on the platform?
I have like two ways of interpretation of these things. One is I have these objects documented in photographs where you can see it in a street, in the grass, in the sand, or
just
whatever.
To have some kind of context.
And also, like, in a way to confuse logically, you know, like you see the object and you see around the object and you recognize easily, this is the street, this is the beach, this is the grass, and it's there. Ah, so this object existed there. So it's documented. And in the gallery, just the object as itself. So, like, I create these two spaces where sometimes, if it's necessary, we used to pull like the document of the object where was taken the photo, and the object as itself in the space, and then the people can like connect these two spaces: the space where it was outside, and the space where it's inside. Which I'm more interested in the outside thing, I'm trying to avoid this space gallery or this like private thing that separates two things, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the main point.
You said the latter was in a gallery show. Was that the only? Was it a group show or was it a solo show?
Was a group show.
Mm-hmm.
This one and the bucket. It was.
Have you had a solo show with these, and like, how are they kind of presented in that context?
I had a solo show in April in Michael Mudgari, where I was not just focused in the representation of logic, you know, in the idea of this transformation. I got a couple of canvases which I just used colors. People were seeing these paintings as abstract paintings because of the way how they were painted and the way how the forms were, but was more focused in the use of colors. So I just covered this my studio full of canvases, and I just did a performance covering painting.
Okay.
So that was the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
About.
You mentioned some of your performances and stuff. We can start talking about those. I remember seeing some documentation of some pieces where you're pouring paint onto a form, and
yeah,
you're like out in public in Manhattan. What were you doing in those?
Okay, in that project, actually, it's a project that I connected three different cities and three different societies, which I'm doing something absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I cover a person, a girl, with fabric, and then
so there was a person underneath.
There was a person inside. Yeah,
that was hard to tell from the photos.
It
looked like a human form.
Human
but I
form
couldn't
or
tell
something.
If there was
actually
someone under there.
Yeah, the video performance was about I place a person in the middle of these three different places where I did in Torino, Italy, where I placed the person in a market, in a very popular market.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask permission or nothing. I just placed there to see these real people, how they react.
Mm-hmm.
So the performance was to place this person, cover with fabric, throw one color, and then take out the fabric, and then the person, like something super absurd, you know, just to deal with the colors in different societies.
Mm-hmm.
But which I was more interested was the reaction of the people. Where, as I was saying to you, in Torino, I was thinking, oh, the people will kick me out, will say something. They love it. They were screaming, yeah, go ahead. They were even making money. They said, yeah, €1, €1, here, €1. So
yeah,
I was impressed. I mean, I saw the performance again, and I was more interested about the people than the performance. And I said, what's interesting? Then when we did here in New York for this festival, Low Lives, we chose Union Square because there was this movement in New York happening, called the Occupy Wall Street, where most of the people were still in Union Square, complaining to the government and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I didn't ask any permission. I was doing a performance. And the interesting thing that everybody was taking photos, everybody was filming, and there was people screaming, like something political stuff. I'm not sure what it's about now, but that was interesting, you know, like they were thinking there was something political, you know, connected to the Occupy Wall Street, completely out of context, and that was the interesting thing. And then when we did the last one in La Paz, Bolivia, my city. The people were scared. We started to do a thing, and the people were looking like, she will disappear. She will transform in a man. Like, I say, like, super scared. And the cameras were, they were like, we were shooting. The people were like leaving the place because they were saying, no, this is something diabolical. This is something, no.
And
you
should have some black man.
Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting. So, like, the performance is the same. I just changed the color. Green, a purple in Torino, yellow in Torino, purple in New York, and green in La Paz. But the people, you know, and then we had like these three different people that reacts in a different way. So that was the point that I didn't expect, actually, because I was more focused in the performance. I just want to do this thing and that's it.
Yeah.
But the more interesting thing that came over in the video was the reaction of the people. So that was it. That was my idea to deal with this outside thing, you know, to react this thing, to react with these real reactions or feeling of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because somehow, I mean, the art stuff or the things that I'm doing is related to the culture and how I can do these things or, you know, connect with what the people think or what the we can be into society.
And how do you have the documentation of that? Did you have like a elaborate setup to film the whole goings on and capture reactions and everything?
I had the two cameras, one that was just focused in the performance, and the other one was focused some details of the performance, but was more focused in the reaction of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the interesting thing of this performance was to do the thing to where you can see clearly what was about the performance and see also like the other reaction of the people, you know. I didn't say nothing, as I tell you.
Mm.
It was just the people that were working with me. So that was, you know, because like sometimes when you say, yo, there is this performance happening Saturday, so the people will come to see the performance and that's it. So the thing that we were trying to do, like to avoid this thing, you know, to just do it, document it, and then have this surprise of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Even talking, we were connected to like some festival or some things, we were already saying to the people there. So that was that was the main point.
Were you able to collect any of the photos or videos that people were taking of you while
not really
other places?
Not really. I mean, it was, there were like many people there, so some the filmmakers were asking them, but at the end we didn't get nothing. I mean, there's some stuff, but it's like in the Occupy also, what you can see there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not officially.
Yeah.
So
I thought maybe if you looked on the internet and Google it, you could find like
the documentation.
It's like a purple paint
Union Square. Yeah, that was very interesting, I think. So yeah, as I'm saying to you, I mean, I just work in whatever is necessary to work, you know, according to the minimums.
What are some of the other performances that you've done?
One of the first ones that I did was I drew 600. I don't know if I can show you or later.
You can show me now. Too.
Yeah,
we can.
I mean, this one was a connection of I love Richard Wagner. I'm like follower of all the music of Richard Wagner since I was young. So when I used to draw hands most of my time, my free time, just if I had to do something, I just draw my hand. I don't know why. Because it's here, I think, is my model all my life, really my model. So I love to draw hands. So in this project, I drew 662 hands. Because at that moment we were like 6,062 something in the world.
Like
6.62 billion
people.
Exactly. So the idea was to connect this metaphorically, the people in drawing, because the hands were like different forms, as how we are, we're different. And in a place, you know, like the world, you know, it was just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the opera of Wagner, Siegfried. Where is the whole story tells like many stuff, but actually in this song is when Siegfried, that is the hero of the opera, is forging the sword. So he does always one song like this, like dun, 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 dun. So I was thinking how I can connect these things with these hands, you know, because these two things were in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Bolivia we have this popular object called mata suegra. That is like a dynamite that explodes. So I connect the explosion, I glue it, no, I put it on the surface of the hands, and I put the music, so while the guy was forging this war, I was making this explosion.
Okay.
So it's not too long, so. So I was
okay, so you made kind of a video of visual images
to go along
and narrate the story. And that was like a large panel of all drawings of hands that you'd done. 662
hands. And that was for the Biennale in Bolivia. So they I did this also thing in like in the street to because they asked me, you know, like to do this performance and to see how it interacts with the people, you know, the street. So yeah, well, I can show you, like, here I prepare like some works. This is a project what I that I did 2 years ago, one year ago in January, for a residency that I did in the School of Visual Arts. There was this moment when Osama bin Laden was killed by the army in America, and there was one thing that Allen Ginsberg, the poet, was saying, that in these moments of sadness or war, the best thing to protest or to do is to cover the city with balloons.
Yeah.
So there was like a. I just felt like in the society, in the people, was like a very scary moment, and because the thing that happened in New York in 9/11, that I wasn't here, I just felt I just have to create this thing, you know, the balloons to do this metaphorical expression that Allen Ginsberg was saying. So I placed the balloons in different areas of the city. You know, like
it's a bundle of about a dozen balloons tied to different sites.
Then, well, this, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, different, like, you know, normal, common places, and just
people like run up and take them quickly.
Exactly, they can take it. I mean, they're just there, you know, like just like a sublime thing.
Okay.
This is so I work also as a photography. This is a roast of photography. It's in a carnival in Bolivia, where there are tables. Coming over a wall of fire. I just tried to express this movement, you know, like this expression of the carnival.
I did see these pieces where you have these kind of figures placed.
You saw it?
On your website.
Okay. So yeah, this one is a series that I worked in the connection of the cultural thing that the mask has in the cultural thing where it's placed. In this case, this photo is in is here in Five Points.
Okay.
And the mask is from China. So I'm just trying to create these two reaction between these two things. This is a mask from Italy, where I placed it in a canal in Venice. This is a Bolivian mask, what is placed in a desert in Potosí in the south of Bolivia. So just, you know, those reactions. This is the way I used to paint, as I was telling you. I don't say that I'm an abstract painter. I just use the color of the painting, and then according to that, I just find out how I can deal with these things. So this is a series of, I call it mixture, because we have, in Bolivia, in the carnival, we have a very small piece of papers of different colors where we used to throw to the people. So as I was like feeling here, like it's just colors. And I think here you call it confetti. Yeah, exactly. So the same thing,
okay.
Just the use of colors. These are like the big ones. This is 82 inches by 68, I think.
That's big.
Yeah, this big.
Do you still do much painting, or is this all older work?
These were of the beginning of this year, the first semester. As I was telling you, the show that I did in Michael Mood Gallery was about these things.
Okay.
The use of these paintings, the use of these colors.
It's kind
and
of really rich mixtures of different colors and stuff.
It is not that I just pull the colors and that's it. I follow 130. I try to react the colors. For example, in this painting, let's put this one. For example, here, if I started here with a red, so I just want to react in composition with another color. So I put a green, that is the complement of the red, here. So in this green, I need something that can connect this cold color. So I put a little bit blue here. And then the blue with orange that complement itself. So like somehow I just try to create the composition according to the colors, you know?
Okay.
And these colors are just like, as I'm telling you, I just pull the color. Okay, the red is here. I see the scale. I need the green here. Then I create all this space, and in between I can put another cold color. And then somehow I just keep going. And then at the end I just feel that it's finished. I just fix some other things, and then
So they look very abstract expressionist, but they're actually some rules that you're following or making.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. If I explain you, like, it's not an abstract, it's like something that I follow. I'm thinking, I know where I'm putting the brush, how amount of oil I'm using, all of them, they're oil on canvas. So, yeah, this is the big one. This is like 110 inches by 90. This is a big one. And I'm here.
Does it take you very long to make these?
Yeah, these ones I was working like 2-3 months. No, months, yeah.
Okay.
Super hard.
So they're actually pretty meticulous. It looks like they could be done really quick, like a Jackson Pollock style.
I mean, it's like, for example, I do something here and then I move to this one and then I go back here.
So you're working on it.
Exactly.
Them as time.
Okay. For example, in this one I was a little bit of struggle because was big. Was this the biggest one that I did? And I felt that I needed something, you know, like, it's like I was feeling that was kind of flat painting. But then I don't know how this yellow came over. And I said, whoa, yeah, it's that one.
Yeah.
So according to this yellow, I just tried to like interconnect, you know, somehow in the composition of the painting. And the pink just a
bright yellow focal point amid the busy texture.
In busy texture. So, yeah, this is, installations, things. Well, this is another project. This is one of the stream ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a Biennale this year in Santa Cruz, and the theme of the Biennale was cruelty. So, this is a piece. I have a series, but this is the best one. What I said that there are many dogs living in the roads between Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina.
Wild dogs,
exactly. So nobody cares about them, you know. They are just surviving, you know. Like, I remember I throw one bread and they jump it like 1 meter just to catch the bread.
Yeah.
So they're pretty fucked up. So, I know that it's sad to say, and it's very explicit in how I'm showing here.
Gruesome photo of the dog.
Of the dog, yeah. So I say this, it's like lucky for the dog. I mean, I feel, even if it's sad, it's better to that if these things are happening to the dogs, rather than to say that, yeah, we will take care of the dogs, because those things never happen. Well, here in America, I didn't see dogs outside the street. And if I see this, the dog was super strange, you know, situation. But, yeah, that's the truth.
Was this dog struck by a car? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I was traveling, and then I saw the dog there. There was, like, the blood was, like, red, like,
yeah.
Completely red, and the smell was coming over the road.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped with my friend and said, yeah, we have to photograph this one. And actually with this one we're starting to do this document of dead animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the thing that you just appear, you know. The other day we were walking here and we saw a bird dead.
Yeah.
And my friend just was talking with me and she stepped on it and she was like, oh. But that's the no, interesting thing when you find these things, you know, like boom.
Mm-hmm.
Like
would you consider yourself as having totally transitioned out of painting? Now you more make art objects, as you called them.
I mean, somehow I connect this thing, maybe very conceptually way, but in a way I just use the color to like not transform, but just to deal with this complementation. You know, like I don't paint. Because of something, I just use the paint to use colors, you know, to transform the canvas. I see the canvas.
And you just use the plaster.
Exactly.
To transform the shoes.
So I just exactly. So it's canvas is I can put something else there, you know. I can glue an object, or for example, here is. I mean, you know, I just use the canvas as. What I can do with the canvas, you know, not just as a painting, you know, I can transform these things. They are not sandals. You can use it.
You just put them on there and then coat them in white paint.
And, these ones are the ones that you're seeing.
A pair of boots covered. Did you just, like, kind of dip them in plaster and let them dry?
Exactly. So, this is about a bottle, what I covered it with. These things that you use to clean the pots.
The metal pots.
Metal pots, yeah. For example, this one, the bucket, where you see clearly, you know, it's like where the birds are. But it's like before.
It's like a nest now. I see you covered it in straw, so it looks like a bird nest hanging from a tree.
This is, you know, the photo of this one. That's what I'm saying, you know, that I have this object here and you have there. And this one, I just try to connect the two colors, you know, the red and the green that complements each other.
The red Budweiser cans of the cube.
It's a cup covered with hair. I was saying, like, here we have, like, two spaces, the space outside and the space inside that you don't know, but it's connected by the straw that goes inside.
Okay.
So
is that real hair?
It's the real hair, yeah.
Where'd you get real hair?
It's my hair.
It's your hair.
Yeah. This one is a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
That works, actually works, and I just cover it with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
that's interesting. You can't really tell what that is. It's like just a cube.
Yeah, it's just a cube. Exactly, it's
and
a rectangle.
It's covered in.
That's what I'm saying.
Vegetable.
Like, it's not the object that it used to be. It's something else. But like you, the wire is connected. You know, so
yeah, it's
it works.
Cord,
you know,
kind of
cord, but it's tobacco. So
yeah. I guess from the size, most you could guess what it is.
What
I would guess VCR just from the picture, but. I'm old like that.
Well, this one is the disc covered with sand in the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I just did this in Coney Island. Well, this is, you know, a hammer covered with confit. It's a knife with sand. Well, this is the about this, the ladder, as I'm placing in other contexts, you know, so you can like you can recognize it, the object, because when you see the area, the street, you can say, oh yeah, this street, yeah, I know that this street exists, so you can interconnect this thing. Or
I guess getting back to contextualizing these and also kind of tying it into the audience reaction that you were getting from your performance, do you like leave these out and kind of watch and see how people relate to these?
I'm taking photos first with a and then I just go a little bit far and I just see what the people stop. If the people stop, try to see, you know, what it's about. That's interesting, you know, because, you know, it confused this idea that you can see it as shoes but a cover of ground, and they're on the ground, so like they connect, you know, this environment thing.
Do people in New York tend to pay attention to these things or just pass them by?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they stop, sometimes... I mean, I think they stop because they are... They look the object, they recognize it, but say, yo, but this is... Oh, it's not a pocket. This is not leather. What is it about? And they started to think about it. Then they maybe they touch, they see it, and then they just leave it. You know? So maybe, like, this contrary... against this... logically think that you can recognize the object that confuses people. That's the main point, right? This one I use both hair from New York, not my hair.
Not your hair, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like, you know, like, this is where my boots. And yeah, this transformation, you know?
Okay. And so what kind of things are you currently working on now that you haven't finished yet, or what kind of things do you have upcoming?
I'm working in this more of this research of these objects where I can transform and to create more of this, at least 50 more, where I can like somehow create a no installation but like a relation of objects that can create an interrelation.
Okay. A collection of
interrelated
objects that you transform.
So like my idea is like to use these things, these objects, and not place it in the gallery where they were shown or in the museum. It is just to put it like in different places over the gallery or over the museum, where you say, okay, where is the show? No, the show is just everywhere here in the space. So you can see the object like in different areas, where you can, oh, yeah, but this thing is like that, but confusing.
Yeah, I can definitely see a lot of surrealist influence and absurdist influence, like you were talking about before in your work. Who was the guy that did the empty gallery show? Was that Klein? I don't think it was.
In the gallery?
Yeah. It was from like the 40s or 50s.
40s, 50s. I just heard...
It was like an empty gallery and that was the show. And that's kind of the same.
Yeah.
The entire gallery is the show.
That was Klein?
Maybe it was. Yeah. I wanted to say Klein, so maybe that's right.
Same thing was him. And I know that because the people knew. I say, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were making the line. Yeah, but you won't see nothing.
Yeah.
But I want to be there inside. So that's very rhetoric.
And I was just curious what all these blueprints are on your wall up here. These something that you're...
Yeah, this building. This one was a last project that we were working with my partner. It was a hotel that we are... it's not this one. It's just the plans of what was before. So we are just redesigning as a new hotel.
Okay.
So we create a monolith. A monolith is like unique sculpture of a person that we have in the Inca Empire. They have monoliths where they put in reference for the Inca or for someone else. So we create this only object that can create this monolith, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that. Yeah, basically,
this is a building that already exists that you're working with.
No, it's just the bottom, the restaurant.
Okay.
Now up, down, they will start to build the rest of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
As you see here, I mean, we work in different things here, not just only one stuff. You know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was good talking with you. Thanks for meeting with me, and we'll see you around.
Thank you.
And that concludes this episode of Studio Sessions with our guest Maximiliano Signani. You can find his work online at maximilianosignani.com. You can also learn more about me at my website, mattcoolman.com. If you'd like to support this program, you can send a donation through PayPal to studiosessionspodcast@gmail.com. Even if you only send a dollar, your donation helps guarantee I can continue providing interviews with interesting artists for your listening pleasure. And of course, don't forget to visit bigredandshiny.com for future episodes along with other high-quality arts and culture content. Thank you for listening, and see you next time on Studio Sessions.